Hello, folks, and welcome to the Touch 'Em All podcast. I'm Mario.
And I'm Rafi.
And it's interesting opening weekend in baseball, wouldn't you say, Rafi?
Definitely, man.
A lot of stuff going on, a lot of things happen, a lot of injuries this weekend as well, too.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of expect it, you know, opening week. Yeah. Guys kind of getting back into the whole game thing. And sure, you'll see a few injuries pop up here and there.
Yeah. A lot of good games this weekend as well. I mean, we saw an extra inning game down here in Miami with the Marlins.
Yeah.
The Kansas City Royals in L.A. went extra innings. Matt Traynor, former Marlin, hit a
walk-off three-run
homer to end the game.
Yeah.
So that was great to see for him. And I guess let's just jump right into some of this injury news. A lot of things happened. The big one that stands out to me is Evan Longoria and the oblique strain.
Yeah.
To me, that's a huge blow to Tampa. I mean, got off to a really bad start, got swept by the Orioles, uh-huh. who are looking like a great team this year.
Right.
Some good pitching there, a lot of offense on that team with Mark Reynolds, Vlad Guerrero, Luke Scott, who also ended up getting injured, and not to mention Derek Lee, who still provides a quality bat.
Vlad and good leadership from Buck Showalter, and it's paying dividends there. And as far as the Tampa Bay side is concerned, granted, it's only the weekend, but we've seen Manny get off to a slow start, Manny Ramirez. And, without Longo, that team's going to suffer a bit. I mean,
absolutely.
I think a bit is an understatement, but, you miss a guy like Longo, who arguably might be the best player in the American League. Maybe not as great as Cabrera, but, you know, he's up there.
Yeah,
definitely
absolutely.
Top five.
Absolutely.
You're going to suffer.
Yeah, the one bright spot I did see from Tampa was the pitching held up well.
Yeah.
David Price, although he gave up 4 earned runs, didn't pitch that bad. I think he went 7 innings, had 7 strikeouts. James Shields, 7 innings. That was kind of a tough luck loss for him because
right.
he pitched really well, gave up just the 1 or 2 earned runs,
uh-huh.
and but his team couldn't pick him up. So
no, on the flip side, Chris Tillman, the Orioles pitcher, had a no-hitter going, and Showalter yanked him after 6. The pitch count was high, so I guess at this point in the year, you know, it's better to be safe than sorry.
Absolutely.
He was actually making a spot start for Brian Mattis.
For Brian Mattis, who's also injured
on the disabled list.
With a strained oblique or something like that.
Yes.
I don't know. I think Tampa has figured out, you know, they got some issues. Baltimore, I don't know. Baltimore, I really like this year for some reason.
I really like
Buck Showalter has been a spark plug for that team.
Definitely.
Great leadership. But Brian Mattis is expected to be out a couple of weeks. Luke Scott also got hurt, was pulled, I think, on Saturday or Sunday. He has a strained right groin. They're not expecting it to be very serious. They're expecting him back
right.
probably this week, maybe Wednesday or Thursday. So for all of you guys that have him in your fantasy team, like me, you know,
don't worry
look elsewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the time being, you know, he's going to be out. Some other interesting injuries was Mike Stanton of the Florida Marlins was yanked from the game on April 1st. After he hit a double, he pulled a hamstring or strained his hamstring. Mm. In the 6th inning, and they pulled him right away. He hasn't played since. They're expecting him back Tuesday or Wednesday. They have the day off today, so it kind of gives him an extra day to rest up.
Right.
And let me tell you, I think the Marlins really missed his bat in the lineup Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, definitely.
The Marlins lineup looked completely different without him in the lineup, and it suffered, I think.
Yeah, they scored 2 runs Saturday before, you know, having to score another run in the 9th inning and then having to try to mustered 3 more runs in the 10th, which they couldn't do, and then on Sunday they were just 2 runs in total.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean that's a bat there that the Marlins need.
Yeah, and I think the Marlins are a scary lineup only if Stanton's in there. I mean, not that to take away from Hanley Ramirez and Gabby Sanchez and Logan Morris and John Buck, who had a grand slam in his first Marlins hit.
Welcome to South Florida.
Yeah, that's exactly what I yelled out after he after he hit that grand slam. And the new Marlins, Omar Infante, you know, Ryan Webb, you know, from that we got in one of those trades in the offseason.
Maven trade.
In the Maven trade. I mean, really stepping up. And the other good thing I saw too was Emilio Bonifacio got a clutch hit, you know, clutch double in late innings to kind of, you know, keep the Marlins in the game on Saturday. So some bright spots for the Marlins, but I think, you know, they definitely need Stanton in that lineup. In minor league news for the Marlins, Matt Dominguez was hit in the elbow with a pitch. He has a fractured elbow. His timetable is like 4 to 6 weeks now. I think this really hurts his chances of being in the big leagues this year, or at least pushes it back to make him now a September call-up or a post-All-Star break call-up.
Yeah, I'm thinking post-All-Star. You know, of course it's a big blow anytime your top prospect goes down with an injury, and I guess, you know, now the Marlins are in trouble because, you know, in minor news, Donnie Murphy got hit in the hand.
Yeah.
The same hand that he had surgery on his wrist.
Extensive surgery.
You're right, on the right hand. So, who's going to be at third right now? They have Boney started yesterday at third base.
Yeah. Bonifacio played all over the place on Saturday, though. They showed it on TV, you know, little circles. They started out in right field.
Uh-huh.
Then he went over to third base, and then when they took Chris Coughlin out of the game, they put him
in center field
and put Greg Dobbs at third and Scott Cousins in right.
Right.
So, and speaking of Chris Coughlin, it was nice to see him beat out that infield single on Friday or Saturday. Showing no ill effects of the knee, played center field really well, had some nice catches.
Nice.
So, I don't think the knee's bothering him anymore.
I was never worried about the whole move to center field thing, and hopefully I'm right. You know?
Yeah. So let's go to the West Coast a minute, because there's some injuries there that kind of, you know, Brian Wilson is going to be activated this week from the DL, although I think the Giants definitely missed him probably Friday and Saturday. You know, yesterday the Giants came back and hit.
Yeah.
You know, they scored 10 runs and said, hey, you know, you guys may be worried about us, but we're not. Here's 10 runs for you.
Right.
So, you know, everybody came together. Pat Burrell homered in that game. Aubrey Huff had a couple of RBIs. So, you know, people stepping up on that team, and they're doing much of what they did last year, which was pitch.
Right.
Matt Cain, seven shutout innings for him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as the Giants are concerned, I guess, they scored a 10th spot Saturday afternoon, but yesterday they had a little trouble. They ended up 25 runs, one off of Broxton in the ninth, couldn't continue. And then the other 2 days, they were also, you know, bested by Clayton Kershaw and Chad Billingsley. So that team is based on pitching. And Jonathan Sanchez didn't have his best stuff, and Zito was all right. You know, he settled down after the first inning last night.
Mm-hmm.
So that team, you know, hopefully with the Brian Wilson coming back, it can help him out.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the Dodgers, some bright spots as well. You know, Matt Kemp hit a home run. Matt Kemp seems to be coming out of the gate swinging the bat.
Yeah.
Which is a nice pleasant surprise for fantasy owners, because last year he did not live up to his draft position of a first round guy.
No.
And I definitely felt it, and I'm loving it because I own Matt Kemp in all my leagues.
Yeah.
And he's definitely paying dividends. That's great. I'm loving it. The other guy on the West Coast that has me a little concerned is Ubaldo Jimenez. Had kind of a rough start, but he's blaming it on he's saying the culprit is a lacerated right thumb or a lacerated cuticle or something like that. So what are your thoughts on that?
Could be right. I mean, he did have a strong year last year, particularly in the first half. But, you know, I mean, Ubaldo's Ubaldo, and you know, I do want to say, you know what you're going to get out of him, but at the same time, you may not know what you're going to get out of him.
Right.
So, you know, as far as he's concerned, we'll have to see if he makes his next start.
Yeah. Do you think Ubaldo's going to suffer from Dan Heron syndrome? Where he's going to have strong first halves, and then he's just going to fall apart in the second half?
Probably. You know, I feel like he's a max effort guy. And if you have a max effort guy, I believe maybe in the second half you won't have as much as you did in the first half. So probably that's what I can see out of him. As far as the Rockies offense is concerned, where's Tulo?
Yeah, he's not showing. Where's Cargo?
Where's Cargo? Where are they? I mean, you know, yes, it's early. It's only the first weekend, but it's just interesting to see.
Yeah, no reason to hit the panic button yet, folks.
No, okay, not at all. Not on panic anybody. Button.
I mean, especially for you guys that drafted Tulo and Cargo, you know, 3 games in, there's still 159
more to play.
I'll
still take them.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay.
Right.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. Speaking of Dan Heron actually pitched really well the other day.
Yeah.
I think he only gave up like 2 earned runs, you know, had some strikeouts. You think he's going to have a bounce back here with LA?
I think so. He had a great stint with the Angels last year after he was traded. So
Dan Heron did not suffer from Dan Heron syndrome.
No,
last
he
year.
Didn't actually.
So we'll see. I don't know. Dan Heron's
rotation.
Yeah. Dan Heron's one of those high risk, high reward guys because he's got tremendous upside, but he's a little.
We'll see. Jared Weaver also had a great start. The one that I do not understand is Scott Kazmir. You think he's going to finally, you know,
put it all together
and get back to that 2008 Tampa Bay Rays form?
Yeah,
an inning and 2/3 with 5 earned runs. You know, I do not get it.
And speaking of giving up a ton of earned runs, how about John Lackey for the Red Sox? Oh. Granted, they were facing a very potent and powerful lineup in the Rangers,
yeah.
But oh man, he got tagged. 9 earned runs.
No, that's
man, that was bad.
I mean, he's used to facing the Rangers. He was with the Angels.
Yeah, for so long.
But wow, man, it's...
And the Red Sox are starting to work. I mean, I don't think it's time to push the panic button. And they were facing, you know, the defending AL champs, but, you know, all this hype about the Red Sox and, you know, I think they're going
to
be okay.
Yeah, there's no reason.
I think they're still going to win the division.
Yeah.
But,
they'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see their next tough contest against a tough team.
I think had the Heat started 0-3, I think people would have pressed the panic button, but it's a 162-game season.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of baseball left.
Yeah, absolutely. Teams are going to go on streaks. Teams are going to get hot. Teams are going to get cold. You know, and that just it's how it is. So in the Central Division in both leagues, there's just some things going on there. Let's start with Cleveland and the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
They had a good series where Cleveland...
Slugfest.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland just got tagged the first 2 games. And then, you know, what happened to the White Sox on Sunday?
I don't know.
One run?
Will Oman, man... His last two outings, his first two and his only two, I believe he's allowed 3 earned runs in those 2 outings.
Oh, combined.
And a total of, I want to say, 3 innings, 4 innings, something like that. So, good riddance, Will Omen. But aside from that, I mean...
Edwin Jackson pitched really well on Saturday. I mean, if he can pitch like that every game, he's not... He's not an ace. If he can cut down his walks, he had 7 strikeouts, which is good to see. Gave up just the 2 earned runs. So if he can kind of be that pitcher where he's going to give up, you know, 2-3 earned runs, and he's going to get you 5 to 7 strikeouts a game, I'll take it, man. I mean, he's, you know, if he can cut down his walks, he's got, you know, potential top 50 guy in fantasy. And I think I took a flyer on him in the late rounds. And so far, you know, after one start, he's paying dividends for me. Grady Sizemore is expected to start his rehab assignment, I think, today or yesterday.
Today.
Coming back from the knee injury.
Uh-huh.
How bad do you think they miss Grady Sizemore in Cleveland?
Pretty bad.
I mean, that's their franchise right there.
Pretty bad. But not only are they missing him, but they're missing him at a full, you know, capabilities.
Yeah.
Because they did have him at some point last year, but he got off to a slow start.
Yeah, they need Grady Sizemore from 2007.
Exactly.
I mean, after 2007, he has not been the same player with the injuries and all that. Shin-Soo Choo has not gotten off to a great start.
No.
And that's a bit of a concern for some people. I don't know. I think the Indians, unfortunately, are going to be irrelevant again this year. The White Sox look good. The Tigers looked good against the Yankees. Had trouble, you know, at first. Started scoring runs. Miguel Cabrera hit 2 home runs yesterday. Which was nice. Finally, you know, the sleeping giant awoke after just, you know, hitting a couple of singles or whatever and drawing some walks in the first 2 games of the series.
Yeah.
So,
good gave it up for Brad Penny, man. 8 earned runs.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Yankees, we see the Yankees for what they are, and we talked about this, is they're going to be a team that's going to score a lot of runs, but they're also going to give up a lot of runs.
Right.
So, exactly. Kind of the opposite of the Phillies, which are not going to score a lot of runs, I don't think, but are going to not give up a lot of runs. Exactly. So, I potentially see the Yankees and the Phillies maybe making a trade, you know, arm for bat trade, maybe near the All-Star break, maybe near, you know, at some point.
Right.
During the season, you know, you could see a guy move, maybe a Raul Ibanez or, you know, something like that. Or you see, I don't know.
Michael Young, I mean, even though, you know, they say they're not going to spend that money, whatever, this and that.
They're the Yankees. And they're the Phillies.
Right.
If the Phillies move an arm to get a bat, who do you is Blanton. It Blanton?
Blanton.
Not Oswald, no. Not Hamels, no. Definitely not Lee or Halliday. I mean, no. you don't want those.
But it's Blanton.
It's Blanton, and who takes the fifth spot then?
I'm sure either they make another trade or a guy like I believe Kyle Kendrick.
Oh, true, Kyle Kendrick.
Or something like that.
Makes them miss Kyle Drabeck a little bit, huh?
Yeah,
Mr. No hit stuff through 6 innings. And speaking of no hit stuff, how about Josh Johnson on Friday?
Oh my gosh!
I was freaking out. And then you know what? ESPN jinxed him. They send out the text. Josh Johnson, no hitter through 6 innings, and then boom.
It was funny. I was at the game, and you know, I was talking to my brother, and I'm like, "Look, once we get rid of Reyes, Harris, and Wright, I think we'll be good for the rest of the night." But Willie Harris
double.
It happens, man. Yeah. It happens.
You know, what are you going to do?
And his pitch count was great. I mean,
yeah, he was really efficient, which is something
just over 70 in 6 innings.
Yeah,
70 pitches.
He's one of those guys that will throw 100 pitches, but he was really efficient, and that's something he had a lot of trouble with last year.
Right.
Was he was not making it deep into games, and I think that that's something that if he can be efficient with his pitches, he's going to be more in talks with guys like Roy Halladay and Cliff Lee and those types of players.
I'm sure he'll have another opportunity to get a no-hitter.
Yeah, I'm sure he... Maybe against a weaker offense.
If he can... Hey, the Nats are coming in.
Hey, you know?
So.
Although the Nats played pretty tough baseball. I mean, they let it get away from them yesterday.
Uh-huh.
But played pretty tough the first 2 games, I think.
Yeah.
And Jordan Zimmermann pitched... And we've talked about Jordan Zimmermann pitched really well.
Mm-hmm.
Gave up just a 2-earned run. A tough luck loser again.
Yeah.
Levan
didn't do too bad.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, I don't know. Ankiel had a good series.
Yeah. I don't. I mean, Zimmermann. You know, they have a potent lineup. They're, you know, I don't know that the Nats are the team that's gonna give up a no hitter, but
right.
But hey, you know, you never know. We'll see what happens.
Marlins play the Rays.
Hey.
So.
So Carlos Zambrano was exited from his start in the middle of an at bat.
Mm-hmm.
Because of some wrist or hand injury,
cramping,
and that's something that he's dealt with in the past.
Yes, definitely.
I don't think it's cause for too much concern. They're saying he's not going to miss his next start.
Not
but
too
just,
much to worry about.
Yeah, just... but I mean, he did show up on the injury report, so I think it's worth mentioning. Matt Holliday is out indefinitely, and that's a big loss for the Cardinals. Yeah, although I mean, not like they really needed him yesterday with Jaime Garcia's, you know,
complete game shutout
with 8 strikeouts or whatever it was.
Wow.
Ridiculous. I mean, he's picking up right where he left off last year.
Yeah,
potential top 10 pitcher, I think.
He shows that spring training stats mean nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Ricky Nolasco, I think, was also showing that spring training stats mean nothing.
Giving
up only the 2 earned runs, had some strikeouts, didn't really walk anybody. So, I mean, it's good for Ricky to get off to a good start, especially coming off the injury, then the thumb injury in the offseason. So, you know, had a rough spring.
Right.
So, good to see him.
He didn't walk anybody.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about that game for a second. And specifically Leo Nunez.
Right, yeah, because people are...
It was up and down, okay?
Yeah.
What I did not like was he walked the first batter and Ike Davis. That was the first and only walk the Marlins had given up that game. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All 4 pitches were out of the strike zone.
Right.
Attack the guy. If he hits a home run, oh well. but you attack the strike zone.
Yeah, as a closer, you cannot be afraid to pitch.
Right. If he retired the next two guys, okay, he used a slider on Brad Emus, grounded out. The next batter, Josh Tolley, on a 1-0 count, 1-0 fastball, throws it outside. Tolley hits it to left field, flicks it to left field.
Yeah. Can't do anything about
that. Bust him inside. Yeah. That's what I would have done. But
yeah, and the scouting report on Tolley is that he's becoming a slap hitter exactly. That he's going to hit to the opposite field. So
bust him inside, but what do I know? I'm sitting here.
Yeah, we're sitting here and not in the broadcast booth. So what are we going to do?
Exactly.
But, I mean, he gave up the one run, the two hits, and then K-Rod comes in to close out the ninth.
I knew he was going to blow it. I'm sorry, but I had a feeling he was going to blow it.
You know what? It could have been wishful thinking, but I had the same feeling. And
he hasn't been the same since he left Anaheim.
Yeah, and I think he's had a tough time against the Marlins. I've seen him blow some leads against the Marlins. For whatever reason, the Marlins hit him well.
Greg Dobbs came up, and I knew, fastball. He's going to throw a fastball because he's stubborn.
Yeah.
Dobbs apparently knew it. Flicked it right up the middle, and
Dobbs is a veteran. You're not exactly. If you give him a fastball, he's gonna hit it.
Exactly. I mean,
he's a professional baseball player. If you throw him a meatball, he's gonna hit it.
And I'm glad we have him on the team.
Yes, I really like having Greg Dobbs on the team. Kind of reminiscent of that Ross Glode Wes Helms
right.
pair.
Exactly.
From 08 or 09. So, you know, just a lot of good things in baseball. A lot of good games this weekend. Let's jump into the fantasy stuff because. Yeah. You and I are in three leagues together.
Uh-huh.
All of our leagues are together. Two 8-team leagues and a 12-team league, which is our, you know, keeper league with our frat brothers. And, you know, it's kind of a league that we've been doing for a few years now.
Right.
We kind of took in different strategies into that 12-team draft because I kept the 7 players that I could, that I was allowed to keep.
Right.
And you redrafted your whole team.
Yeah, I decided, you know, it's better to just start over. I didn't necessarily like my keepers. And, you know, I kind of was looking at who was being kept around our league and I kind of thinking ahead. And I saw that, you know, Hanley Ramirez was going to be available. And, you know, guys like Ryan Braun and Robinson Cano. So I said, you know, it's better for me to just wait and then draft all three. And I ended up getting Hanley and Tulo back-to-back. So, not bad. I mean... I'm pretty satisfied with the team.
I mean, I took the different approach where I went. I kept my 7 players. I kept Miguel Cabrera, David Wright, Mike Stanton, and Matt Kemp my hitters. And then I kept Josh Johnson, Tim Lincecum, and Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was setting myself up to have a good core of players. And to be honest, I can't complain with the rest of my draft.
No.
I was able to get Giovanni Soto at my catcher position. I got him late.
Right.
Which is good. I got Ben Zobrist to cover my second base or outfield if I need to. I have Alexi Ramirez at shortstop, which is 20 homer, 20 steal guy. I mean, that's good production out of the shortstop position.
Uh-huh.
And then I rounded out my outfield with Michael Bourne, who's going to get me, you know, 100 runs and 50 steals.
Right.
So I kind of balanced my team well. My team's going to hit, I think, for pretty good average. And then my pitching staff, I really like as well for whatever reason. I was able to get guys like Jordan Zimmermann, Hiroki Kuroda, who's one of those guys that, you know, is not a sexy name per se, but he's a guy that eats innings, puts up numbers, strikes guys out. He's improved every year that he's been in the majors since he came over from Japan.
Yeah.
Another guy that I drafted that I like as well, and I took a late round flyer on him, was Brett Myers, who, you know, pitched 7 shutout innings against the Phillies the other day. Kind of the question mark I have on my team is, you know, Rick Porcello. Is he going to step up this year and pitch well? James McDonald, you know, I took some high risk, high rewards guys in those and Bud Norris as well, because Bud Norris is going to strike a lot of guys out, but you know,
he's
going to allow a lot of runs. He's in the zone a lot. And that's why he generates so many swings and misses.
Right.
So I kind of like the balance of my team. My closers are a little, you know, Drew Storen hasn't gotten an opportunity yet. Houston Street had a rough, you know. And then I have Evan Meek and Grant Balfour, who are going to get me holds because our league count saves and holds is one category, which
Correct.
Is which is good because it gives you a lot of options and I don't have to pay for saves.
Right.
Like exactly. I was talking about. So I have Grant Balfour and Evan Meek, who I think is the closer in waiting should Joel Hanrahan start to falter.
I hope not, because I have Joel Hanrahan.
Yeah. So you want him? You know, I'll give you the handcuff.
Nah. But it's where you. It's funny. It's where you finish the year before. Last year I didn't finish too well, and I was.
And neither did I.
Right, and it depends, because if you feel comfortable with the team, you have your keepers. If you don't, and you finish, you know, towards the bottom, don't keep anybody. What's the point?
Right.
You know, redraft your team. If it didn't work last year, it's not going to work again.
Yeah, this league that we're in, the 12-team league, is a lot of baseball guys in this league, which is fun because it's very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a lot of teams in it to the very end, and, you know, so it's a lot of fun to play with our frat brothers because we all like baseball. We all, you know, we've all been playing in leagues together for like 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very competitive league. The other league that we're in is the 8-team league on ESPN. Not as competitive. I see there's a few guys, you know, I see four teams, including you and I, not to toot our own horns or anything, but I see four teams that are really going to make a push to be the top. You know, it's kind of top heavy, and then the bottom half is just kind of whatever. Yeah. There's one, you know, I'm not gonna talk bad about any of the teams. It's just, you know, it's kind of interesting that somebody took Mike Stanton in the third round.
Yeah, it's
kind of
early.
Yeah, it's a little. Not that Mike Stanton isn't gonna carry that kind of value eventually.
Right. It's a Marlins fan.
Yeah, he's a Marlins fan. You know, not you're gonna do that. That league, I got stuck with Evan Longoria, who's now on the DL, but. I also have Kevin Youkilis, who's going to gain third base eligibility, and Jose Bautista, who's already hit two home runs this year. So I think I'm okay there.
Yeah, I don't think you got stuck.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't. Yeah, I got really stuck. And then I got a good pitching core, and you know, Felix Hernandez, David Price, Matt Cain, Brett Myers again, Hiroki Kuroda again. So kind of a good core there. You and I made a trade in this league.
Yes, we did.
I think on Thursday, right after we drafted.
Yeah, right after we drafted.
I drafted Neftali Feliz and Ted Lilly.
Uh-huh.
You wanted Feliz, and you drafted Sean Markham and Carlos Marmol.
Right.
I wanted Sean Markham. So we end up giving up. I end up giving you Ted Lilly and Neftali Feliz. I get Sean Markham and Carlos Marmol from you. Kind of worked out well for us so far.
Yeah.
Except Ted Lilly giving up the six earned runs the other day. What are you going to do?
Exactly. But, you know, I was looking at the statistics from last season. They were identical.
Yeah.
Were identical.
And Feliz and Marmol were very similar statistically as well. Marmol, not as many saves, but the strikeouts were there.
Yeah.
ERA, not too far off. So, kind of I think it was a pretty even trade.
Yeah.
Worked out well. I love Sean Markham. I took a late round flyer on him last year.
Yeah.
And picked him up in all my leagues. And he was great. He was great last year.
Yeah.
And has gotten off to an okay start this year. Nothing, not terrible, but, you know, he'll pick it up.
Exactly.
So, you know, interesting. It's interesting to see the kind of dynamics that we have in those two leagues because, you know, we're in one league where it's very competitive. Guys, you know, there's good teams from one through, you know, maybe out of the 12 teams, there's probably eight very good teams.
Yeah.
And the other four are not terrible.
Right.
So it's going to be very competitive. Whereas this one, it's eight teams and there's, you know, maybe four, maybe five good teams, and then kind of, you know, whatever. I don't know. I think it's going to be good. What are your expectations for your team in this second league, the 8-team league that we're in?
The 8-team, it's pretty balanced, I believe. I mean, I've got, I've got Adrian Gonzalez, Pedroia at second, Zimmerman at third, Jeter at short, which, you know, I hope for a better year.
Yeah.
And
I think Jeter was an aberration last year. I mean,
He
didn't do that bad. He hit 270, which by major league standards is not bad,
right.
But by Jeter standards, it's bad.
Right.
If he hits 285 this year, you're happy. He's going to score runs.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to hit maybe double digit home runs, maybe double digit steals, but you know, he's going to score runs. He's going to hit for average.
He scored 111 runs last season.
Yeah.
So he could still score runs, like you said, and I'm sure he'll hit for a better average. And,
yeah,
you know.
he's got some big bats behind him. So
exactly. And then as far as the pitching is concerned, I mean, I have Jared Weaver, and I believe all of my leagues, maybe I believe three of the four or something like that. And Clay Buchholz, who, okay, was rocked yesterday, I believe.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure he'll pick it up.
Yeah, and that's a tough Rangers lineup. I mean, you got Elvis Andrews leading off.
Yeah.
You know, Kinsler, I think, batting second. Hamilton third.
Yeah.
Beltre fourth. Cruz fifth.
Yeah,
Michael Young batting sixth. I mean, that's a tough lineup. That's a very tough lineup. Then you got David Murphy, who's,
right.
You know, Mike Napoli in there. You can't look at it like the glass is half empty.
The one person I took a flyer on was Daniel Hudson.
I actually like Daniel Hudson a lot.
Pitched for the Diamondbacks. His first start against the Rockies, he went 6, allowed 3, walked 2, struck out 5 in a loss. You know, not too bad considering he was pitching in Coors Field.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see how that one goes. But he had a great stint with the Diamondbacks last year.
Yeah, he really did. And speaking of guys that had great stints with new teams in the second half last year, a guy that I drafted was Jay Happ.
Mm-hmm.
And he's expected to start tomorrow. And hopefully he picks up right where he left off in Houston. Because, I mean, he had quality start after quality start last year. And he went 6-0, you know, once he got traded to Houston. And it flipped a switch all of a sudden. And that, I thought that was great. It helped out my fantasy team last year.
Right.
The one guy that on my closer core that I kind of is John Axford. He got tagged pretty good the other day. But I don't know that it's too early in the season for me to say, panic button, drop. He's already being dropped a little bit in leagues. Not a lot, but I think people are just too quick to hit the panic button. I don't know.
Definitely. It's not a big deal. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
Closes aren't going to be perfect, except for, Radledge in 2008.
Yeah.
Which, look how that worked out.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, don't worry about it. We'll be fine. We'll pick up 30 saves.
Yeah. And, you know, we didn't talk about Felix Hernandez earlier. He pitched a complete game. Gave up the 2 runs.
Yeah.
But, you know, had some strikeouts. He didn't walk anybody, which is great. He gave up 5 hits, just the 2 runs, 5 strikeouts.
Yeah.
And
the 2 runs were, I believe, in the first inning off of a 2-run shot by Willingham.
Yeah, so then he really kind of settled in after that. I kind of, you know, Jonathan Neese on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just lights out after that first inning where the Marlins tagged him for 2 runs. He just really settled in, throwing the cutter really well.
Kept the Mets in the game and...
And the Mets eventually won that game. I mean, what are you going to do if the pitcher's not giving you anything to hit? You can't do anything about that.
Right.
So, kind of, you know, who do you have your eye on kind of under the radar, guys? I know we're in the same leagues, but you and I kind of think the same.
Yeah. As far as...
I mean, who do you guys...
On the team already?
Or not on the team, but, like, who do you have your eye on that's out there that maybe you would take a flyer on if one of your players gets hurt? You know...
A guy like Ben Francisco, this guy's gonna be in the Phillies lineup, batting 5th or 6th, and I believe, I want to say 08 when the Phillies acquired Cliff Lee, they also acquired Ben Francisco.
Right.
In that span in that year, Francisco I believe hit 15 home runs and stole almost he did go into double digits in steals. He's a potential 2020 guy.
Yeah.
If he plays a full year, and that's worth keeping an eye on, especially with Dominic Brown out.
Yeah.
Chase Utley out.
Yeah.
They're going to rely on him a lot more.
Yeah. Ibanez is aging.
Aging, correct. So that's somebody to really keep an eye on, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. The other guy, the guy that I'm kind of keeping my eye on, and I think he's going to have a rebound year, is Adam Lind. I had him in 09, and he just paid huge dividends. Just hit over 300, I mean. 30 home runs, just a monster bat to have in your lineup. Last year, not such a great year. But this year, he's already getting off to a good start. Went 2-for-4 on opening day with a home run, 3 RBIs. 1-for-5 since, but has scored a run in each game this year. So, right. I mean, he's not, you know, helping the batting average, but, you know, he's putting up stats somewhere.
Right.
I kind of like him to have a bounce back year. I think he's one of those guys that just, you know, was tough luck last year. Him and Aaron Hill, too.
Both of them should be fine.
Yeah, and he's going to be hitting behind Bautista, and that's going to give him, you know, hopefully some RBI opportunities if, you know, Bautista's not hitting too many home runs. And I think he helps Bautista's fantasy numbers, too. I think having him behind Bautista is really, it's pick your poison.
Right.
You know, and I think people, and we're seeing that because people are pitching to Bautista.
Exactly.
So I he's one of those guys that I keep
on. And if Aaron Hill gets going, he's batting, I believe, right behind him.
Yeah, so.
So, you know, it can only good can come out of this.
Right, exactly. Now, kind of a pitcher that I like that I'm kind of, you know, keeping my eye on is Jake Westbrook.
Okay.
You know, maybe not in, maybe not in the 18 league, but in our 12 team league, I think he's a guy that if he's available, you should maybe pick him up if you're in a deep league or an NL only league.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those good plays. I think he's gonna hit. You know, he's not obviously not hitting. He's a pitcher. He's pitching on a good team. He's gonna be picking up slack because Adam Wainwright's out.
Uh-huh.
So I think he's one of those guys that, you know, is gonna not give you the sexiest of numbers. You know, he's not gonna throw shutouts, although he did throw a shutout last year.
Yeah,
I picked him up. Spot started him that day. It was great. Wrote a whole piece on it, too. It's awesome.
Right.
But I think he's one of those guys. The other guy I like, too, is Jair Jurgens.
He started the year on the DL.
Yeah, so. But when he comes back, he's a guy, you know, him and Joel Piñeiro, who's also on the DL.
Mm-hmm.
One of those guys that you kind of keep your eye on, see what happens.
True.
See, you know, follow their rehab assignments, see how they do.
I like Kyle Loesch. Another Cardinal.
Yeah,
he absolutely. He had a great spring training. Yes, we just finished talking about spring training numbers may not translate into regular season numbers, but in some cases they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a hunch, you know, think that Kyle Loesch's spring training numbers will carry over. He's actually starting today against the Pirates. So that's, you know, a good chance to get that, you know, those spring training numbers going in the right direction.
Absolutely. And, spring training numbers may or may not mean anything, but who knows. So anyway, I think, Rafi, we're out of time for today. But we would love to hear from you folks. Follow us on Facebook at the Touch 'Em All Podcast. Check out our blog. Check out, follow us on Twitter.
Yep.
Follow us. You can email the show with your fantasy questions now that the season's got going. Yeah. I mean, we'd love to evaluate trades for you all. Just email us at podcast@touchemall.net. And we'll get back, you know, we'll talk about it on air.
Definitely.
And, you know, hopefully, you know, something, you know, you guys will give us some feedback and let us know how we're doing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, until next time, we'll see you guys later.
Later.